pimps in the crib, ma. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. Hello, Gamecock Nation. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome back to Buckshots. We are currently in a series where we're looking at every South Carolina football season since 1987, and we are up to the year 2004. If you remember where we left off at the end of 2003, we had just been waxed by Clemson 63-17. A terrible way to end the football season, our second consecutive 5-7 campaign. I think everybody demanded to see something a little different heading into 2004, so there were a few coaching changes, not the least of which was Skip Holtz being demoted. Lou's son was no longer calling plays when 2004 started. And there were a lot of rumors during Lou's tenure that there was maybe a backdoor deal that had Skip taking over as head coach when Lou retired. And whether it was true or not, those rumors kind of went away after that demotion. It was kind of like, well, how can we make this guy the head coach if he's not even good enough to call our plays, or if his dad demotes him? So that was kind of the end of the road, so to speak, for Skip at South Carolina, or the beginning of the end of the road. So we head into 2004. Another big change that we made were in the uniforms. And I don't like to talk about uniforms too much because it can be a touchy subject among Gamecock fans, probably among all college football fans when it comes to their team. So I guess to wash the stench off of that final game of 2003, we decided to just completely revamp our uniforms, go from white helmets to solid black with the block C and the Gamecock on the sides, and a pretty much just a black and white jersey pant combo, various combos during the course of the season. And I know a lot of people like the black. I just hated it. I respect your opinion if you like the black helmets and all that. I just do not agree with it. I like where we are now with primarily garnet and white. But those, those black uniforms, especially the day that we played Georgia when it was a million degrees and we came out in all black. Never quite figured that out. But anyway, we'll get to that game in just a second. We started the season at Vanderbilt, so an SEC game on the road wouldn't be the first time, or wouldn't be the last time we started with an SEC game on the road at Vanderbilt. We'll have another one here in a couple of years. This one went pretty well. We beat them 31-6. Game was a little touchy at first. We jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and Vandy settled down, and there were some tense moments there until Jamacia Jackson returned an interception 98 yards for a touchdown to kind of seal it with about 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So South Carolina went on to win that game 31-6. So a good start, 1-0 in the conference and 1-0 overall. You know, I don't want to get morbid here, but looking at the box score, as many of you, I'm sure, know, Jamacia Jackson passed away in 2008. I believe it was from a heart ailment, unfortunately. And I noticed that Quanay Doster for Vanderbilt had scored a touchdown in that game as well. And he was actually shot and killed in his hometown of Tampa in late 2004. So, unfortunately, two guys who scored touchdowns in that game are no longer with us. So, way to go, Buck, for bringing down the entire crowd. So let's move on to the Georgia game the following week. And the Georgia game started out great. We actually scored a safety to start the scoring in that game. Troy Williamson had a 65-yard touchdown pass from Dondrell Pinkins. And then freshman Coe Simpson, a guy that had gotten just a lot of people talking about him during fall practice, had a 57-yard interception return for a touchdown, and the Gamecocks were up 16-0 over Georgia. And I was at this game, and I just remember thinking, man, we got a long way to go. I wish we were up 16-0 with about 2 minutes left. And sure enough, Georgia stormed back, scored before the half,
score was 16-6 at the half. They scored a touchdown in the third quarter, one touchdown in the fourth quarter to beat us 20-16. So it was a good effort for the Gamecocks, but just came up a little short in a game where we had a pretty decent lead early on. The following week, another game that I attended in person, the South Florida game, Dondrell Pinkins had a bruised shoulder, and he had been the starting quarterback in the first two games of the year. So our main man, Savelle Newton, got the start at quarterback, and all he did was complete 13 of 23 passes for 324 yards and three touchdowns. So it was quite a debut for Savelle at quarterback for us, at least in his first start. Had a huge game. Troy Williamson had a couple of long touchdowns over 50 yards in a 34-3 victory over South Florida. So we're starting to think maybe there's a little quarterback controversy here. And we would see pretty much a revolving door at quarterback the rest of the season. Fourth game of the year, we beat Troy 17-7 at home, and then went to Alabama. And I remember watching this game on TV, playing at Tuscaloosa, and we completely dominated the Crimson Tide, beat them 20-3. The defense played great. The game was, it was close for a while, but Alabama just never really had a chance against our defense that day for whatever reason. And I'm going back. I didn't check this before we started. I was going to look up Alabama's record. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6-6 was how they ended that season. So not a great Alabama team, but still to be able to go into Tuscaloosa and do that to them looked like maybe we had a pretty decent team on our hands at that point. We're 4-1, and we got Ole Miss coming to town. And Ole Miss, just a team you feel like you should beat. I think we have an Ole Miss fan or two out there, but as a South Carolina fan, it's one you circle. It's like as a win at the beginning of every year, whether we should or not. That's kind of the perception of ourselves that we have. So, and this Ole Miss team finished 1, 2, 3, 4, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 4-7, it looks like. So, we really should have beat this team, and unfortunately, we did not. We lost to them 31-28. They scored on a 29-yard touchdown with a minute and a half left. Just a crushing defeat. And they had a quarterback named Ethan Flatt, and I don't think he even started the game. He didn't. I think Robert Lane started the game at quarterback for those guys. And Ethan Flatt looked horrible when you watched him play quarterback, and it's kind of like, how are we getting beat by this guy? So anyway, a pretty painful loss there. And we headed to Kentucky the following week. Oh, let me back up. Ole Miss again. I think, yeah, Blake Mitchell had a touchdown pass in that game. So Blake Mitchell made an appearance. So in the first five, six games of the year, we had Pinkins and Newton and Blake Mitchell all playing quarterback, and we would be introduced to another South Carolina quarterback in the seventh game of the year. Horrible game against Kentucky. We're down 7-6 late in the fourth quarter. And we called on a junior college transfer named Mike Rath, who drove us down the field and hit Troy Williamson with about a minute and a half left in the game on a 19-yard pass in the back of the end zone for a huge win. I remember that was just such a huge play in that season, and I remember going on YouTube and watching it a lot. Cool moment for Mike Rath, probably his only real moment, and I think a lot of people said, hey, maybe Mike Rath should be our starting quarterback, but I don't think he got another start. Not really sure he got to play much more after that. Following week, we played Tennessee at home. They waxed us 43-29, and just don't remember much about that game. I'm looking at the box score, and the score was 8-8 at the half. And Tennessee scored 14 in the third, and each team scored three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So, seems like a pretty wild game. Not sure why I don't remember anything about it. Dondrell Pinkins threw for a career-high 306 yards on 30 of 42 passing. So, Dondrell had a big game coming back. I did attend the next game, the Arkansas game at home. I think you remember maybe 2 years earlier when I'd brought some friends with me, one of them being an Arkansas fan, and we lost 23-0 in one of the worst football games I've ever witnessed in my life. This was actually a great game, and Arkansas had Matt Jones at quarterback, who would just drive you crazy. He was such a good football player, such a good quarterback for Arkansas. Didn't really translate into the NFL, but he was a hard guy to stop. And we scored a touchdown. Troy Williamson makes a great move with just a little over a minute left, a 14-yard touchdown, and it was from Savelle Newton. Savelle had come in because Pinkins had hurt his shoulder once again. And Coe Simpson had an interception late to seal that one. Arkansas had gotten to about midfield and unleashed a long ball that Coe picked off. So we win that game 35-32. Nice win. And we have Florida coming in the following week. And as they tend to do, Florida just waxed us, or at least as they tended to do in most of these years that we're talking about through the middle of the 2000s. So we're 6-4 heading to Death Valley, and I don't exactly remember when the rumors started. It had to be after the Arkansas game, because I know we weren't talking about it then. So it was sometime in the 2 weeks between Arkansas and Clemson, the rumors started that Holtz was going to retire. And somewhere shortly after that Steve Spurrier was interested in the job, and that Steve Spurrier was talking to us about the job, and that Steve Spurrier was going to take the job. So I do remember I went to that game in Death Valley, the final game of the year, and we knew, I wouldn't say beyond the shadow of a doubt, but we were pretty excited that Steve Spurrier, it looked like he was going to be the coach at South Carolina. And I remember there was an interview with him. He was at Duke. I think he was being interviewed or honored at Duke that day. It may have been an anniversary or something was going on, and he was at Duke, and they interviewed him, and he refused to comment on the South Carolina job, which I think was good because he could have denied it right there. So we were feeling like, you know, no matter what happens today against Clemson, Steve Spurrier very well could be our head coach come early next week. And I went to the game. T-Bone and I were in the upper deck for the South Carolina Clemson game. 63-17 the previous year. I think South Carolina players were really amped up. And before Clemson ran down the hill, a lot of our players went and greeted them, basically stood at the bottom of the hill, taunted them, waiting for them. When they got to the bottom of the hill, there was no real pushing or shoving, just kind of barking back and forth at each other. Didn't really think that was too cool of our guys to do that. I know Savelle Newton was in the mix when that was going on. And we proceed to take the opening kickoff. Corey Boyd catches it, runs up to about the 15-yard line, gets popped and fumbles, and Clemson scores immediately. So not even a minute's gone off the clock. They're up 7-0. And we never really had a chance in this game. It was only 14-7 at half. So we felt like maybe, but they scored 12 points in the third quarter, and by, you know, the beginning of the fourth, we were pretty sure we weren't going to be able to make a comeback here. So T-Bone and I had just come up for the day, and I was going to drive back to Atlanta. So he said, hey, you want to leave, you know, about midway through the fourth quarter, I guess it was. So we started walking, and we start walking by some tailgates where some people are hanging out and listening to the radio. And this is really before a lot of people had televisions at their tailgates. And there was just a commotion around the radio, and we asked, you know, what was going on. They said, there's just a big fight, you know, just a huge fight out on the field. And we're like, hey, wow, we were just there. We missed everything. So we get on there and we listen to the radio. And as we're listening to the radio, the magnitude of this fight, you know, starts to come a little more clear. We're thinking, a little pushing and shoving, had to break some people up, a couple of people, maybe they get tossed out. But by the time I got home and saw the replay of what happened, it was just all over, you know, the news, ESPN, really just very embarrassing at the time. Although I didn't feel that embarrassment because I still had in the back of my head that Steve Spurrier was going to be our head coach. I don't think, you know, I didn't have the proper perspective on what happened. I went back and watched it again just a few days ago, and it's really embarrassing. I mean, it's really an embarrassing situation, and I'm embarrassed that I wasn't more embarrassed when it happened. It just completely got out of hand, and a lot of guys should have walked away, and they didn't, and it was just a real black eye on the rivalry. And, you know, we'll talk about the handshakes at the beginning of the 2005 game on the next Buckshots, but I wasn't a big fan of the handshake, but was still just a humiliating thing to be associated with, to have that fight. And I felt bad for Lou Holtz as he went out to have that be his last time on a football field, because even though we were bowl eligible, we just banned ourselves from a bowl game. And I believe Clemson said they weren't going to attend a bowl game either because of that. So just a horrible way to end that season, in a different way than the horrible way we ended the 2003 season. So we needed a fresh start, and sure enough, early the following week, Lou Holtz announced his retirement, and a couple of days later, Steve Spurrier was introduced as the new head coach at the University of South Carolina. So on the next Buckshots, we'll start talking about the Steve Spurrier era, and which has been a little bit of a roller coaster ride. Fortunately, we're on the upswing at the moment, but we'll hit 2005 next time on Buckshots. Thanks for joining me for the 2004 recap. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you soon.
See these ice cubes, see these ice creams, eligible bachelor, $1 million bow. That's whiter than what's in your throat. The phantom, exterior like fish eggs, the interior like this red. I can exercise you, this could be your phys ed. Cheat on your man, man, that's how you get it. Killer with the V, I know killers in the street with the feel to make you feel like chinchilla in the heat. So don't try to run up on my ear talking all that raspy, trying to ask me when my figure they ain't gonna pass me. You should think about it, take a second. Matter of fact, you should take 4B and think before you pick a little skateboard B.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma,
drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot.
When the pigs try to get at you,
park it like it's hot, park it like it's hot, park it like it's hot.
And if a get an attitude,
pop it like it's hot, pop it like it's hot, pop it like it's hot.
I got the rollie on my arm and I'm pouring Chandon and I'm full of best, cause I got it going on.
I'm a gangster, but y'all knew that. The big boss dog, yeah, I had to do that. I keep a flag hanging out my backside, but only on the left side. Yeah, that's the side. Ain't no other way to play the game the way I play. I cut so much you thought I was a DJ. Two, one, yep, three. S C and double O P ego double G. I can't fake it, just break it. And when I take it, see, I specialize in making all the girls get naked. So bring your friends, all of y'all come inside. We got a world premiere right here, now get live. So don't change the diesel, turn it up a little. I got a living room full of fine dime bristles, waiting on the pistol, the diesel, and the shizzle. G's to the biz act, now ladies, see, we kiss her.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma,
drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot.
When the pigs try to get at you,
park it like it's hot, park it like it's hot, park it like it's hot.
And if a get an attitude,
pop it like it's hot, pop it like it's hot, pop it like it's hot.
I got the rollie on my arm and I'm pouring Chandon and I'm full of best, cause I got it going on.
I'm a bad boy with a lot of drive my own cars and wear my own clothes. I hang out tough, I'm a real boss. Big Snoop Dogg, yeah, he's so sharp. On the TV screen and in the magazines. If you play me close, you wanna. Oh, you gotta, so you wanna back. But now, stop that. Shoes, now I'm on the move. Your family's crying, now you on the news. They can't find you, and now they miss you. Must I remind you, I'm only here to twist you. Whip you, dip you, then flip you, then dance to the music we to. Subscribe, get your issue. Baby, come close, let me see how you get loose.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma,
drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot, drop it like it's hot.
When the pigs try to get at you,
park it like it's hot, park it like it's hot, park it like it's hot.
And if a get an attitude,
pop it like it's hot, pop it like it's hot, pop it like it's hot.
I got the rollie on my arm and I'm pouring Chandon and I'm the best, cause I got it going on.